With lockdown rules easing across the UK, what does it mean for getting out and about, our independent mobility, if you like, but maintaining social distancing? It's a good thing for many, but for blind and partially sighted people and those with guide dogs, it can be, well, even harder. How do you socially distance when you can't see people if you use a cane, and guide dogs are not trained to socially distance either? Now, guide dogs have carried out some research, and we're going to chat a little bit about that with Peter Osborne. Thank you very much for joining us, Pete.
No problem at all.
So let's look at some of the feedback you've been getting. What have guide dog owners been saying to you?
I think a lot of people have been very nervous at all, really, about going out and about because, as you've observed yourselves, have changed such a lot. You know, that a lot of the shops are now operating in a different way. It might be harder for people to get assistance. There may be markers on the floor that you can't see, or perspex around the till points that people are just not aware of. And actually, the vast majority of people who might have previously offered some assistance to a blind or partially sighted person are now less comfortable about doing so. And I think that's something we're really trying to focus on through a campaign we've just launched called Being There. We're encouraging people to offer the support that people need and not to disappear. So it's important that people kind of do the social distancing thing, but also don't disappear at the same time.
I won't go into figures. There's a lot to kind of go through in the research, but there was quite a, as you say, a dramatic drop in the number of sighted people willing to give help or assistance to someone with a visual impairment. That's, I would imagine, not down to them not wanting to help, but perhaps they're just a bit scared, not sure how to approach people.
I think that's right. I mean, the messages from all of the governments of the UK have been really clear about, you know, keeping social distance, you know, making sure that everybody remains safe. And those messages, you know, possibly have had a consequence in some respects because it means that people are less sure about how to offer the kind of support that people like, you know, myself as a blind person would need. So I definitely don't think it's a lack of willingness or you know, people's concern. I think it's actually just down to people really understanding the message about social distancing and wanting to keep themselves understandably safe.
How do you get that message out, not just to guide dog owners themselves, but the public at large, that you know, that help can be given just slightly differently?
Well, people like yourselves are very helpful in that respect. I think it's, you know, really good to have an opportunity to talk to you about, you know, some of these issues and to share with people. And I think it's a case of, you know, recognizing that people do need to obviously keep themselves safe, but you can actually do quite a lot to support somebody without actually, you know, coming within that 2 meter bubble that we all talk about. So to actually, you know, just saying hello to somebody so they know that you're there, because they may not have realized, you know, offering to tell them what the situation is that they've come across. So it could be that you've approached a queue as a blind person, but you're not sure where the end of the queue is because people are, you know, socially distancing. And I don't know whether other people have experienced this, but I'm sure a lot of guide dogs will look at people standing 2 meters apart and think, this is a fantastic obstacle course. I can just weave in and out until I actually get to the front. So, you know, I think that dogs are finding it quite difficult to adapt as well. So saying hello, describing what's around and offering assistance, even if it's from a distance. It could just be that somebody wants to know that it's clear to cross a particular road and they don't necessarily need you to guide them. They just need to know that it's clear to cross this particular street that they're standing at. So there's a lot that people can do without actually breaking that sort of 2 meter bubble.
You mentioned about the queues outside of shops. You know, more shops are now opening, more people are perhaps using public transport. So, you know, are the transport operators and the retailers up to speed on how to assist a visually impaired customer, or is that still a piece of ongoing work?
I think it's a piece of ongoing work. We've produced some guidance which a lot of transport providers are now taking on board. So, you know, it's important that people should be able to get assistance when they're needed, and that might include a sighted guide in a railway station that maybe was familiar to you but isn't familiar now because, you know, they've changed how you enter and how you use the station so that one-way systems can apply. So I think it's really important for blind and partially sighted people to plan before they travel because things may have changed. So think about, you know, the journey that you're about to take and whether things have changed, but also for transport providers to be able to provide that assistance. And I'm really pleased that a lot of them are taking this on board. I think with retail, we're at a very early stage. You know, supermarkets, et cetera, have been open for some time. And sadly, you know, we have heard about situations where people just don't feel able to do the things that they've previously done because they're not able to get the support they need. But I'm really confident that as the message gets out there about people supporting and being there and offering advice when it's needed. I think things will continue to improve.
I just want to pick up on the guide dogs themselves. You know, like myself, Pete, you're a guide dog owner.
Yeah.
What I'm finding is that because of social distancing and the restrictions that we are under, I'm not working my dog anywhere near as much as he should be working to kind of reinforce that training. Are you hearing from people with perhaps concerns around that, looking for help and advice?
Yeah, we are. I think if your dog is a little bit older and your partnership's, you know, well established, so my lovely dog is, you know, six and a bit, and, you know, he's in arguably in his prime, you know, he tends to pick things up again reasonably quickly. In fact, I've not really experienced much difficulty myself, but we're very aware of people who perhaps have more recently qualified with their dogs and or people who've lost a little bit of confidence over this time to get out and about, because dogs will pick up on that. So we are very, very conscious of that, and we'll be providing a lot of support to people, both remotely through our website and our telephone services, but also, as we can do, getting out there and talking to people in a kind of more face-to-face environment. So we are very conscious that an awful lot of people are going to feel nervous about this, and that could transmit to our dogs and how they work.
My dog thinks he's been furloughed at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I know. And is that on 80%, do you think, or
oh,
slightly
well,
more?
Yeah. Well, possibly in the food he gets, because he's not working as much. Maybe
oh, bless
a little
him.
Bit of furlough
bless
there.
But, and that is a real issue, actually, because, you know, if our dogs haven't been getting as much exercise, it's really worth just, you know, having a little check on their weight. If you can check it, you know, using some scales, great. But if you can't, even just putting that harness on, you know, that maybe hasn't been on for a few weeks, you'll soon know when you try to tighten the harness up or, you know, attach the harness, whether your dog has gained weight. And it's important to really manage that, you know, with our dogs, because a dog whose weight is healthy is also a healthy dog.
Absolutely. Do you see perhaps a demand when things do get better, people are perhaps working the dogs more, that you may have more people saying, look, I think I may need a little bit of extra help here, some refresher work with the dog?
Yeah, we are really anticipating that because of the fact that people haven't worked their dogs so much, but also because the environments are changing. There's a lot of towns and cities, railway stations, etc., looking at how they can maintain safe distancing, and they're changing, you know, the way in which we use the areas that are available to us. So it could be that you approach a street that perhaps now has changed a little bit, and maybe even pedestrian, or may even have, you know, some one-way signs that you don't even see. So, you know, there are some real changes in our environment that people are going to have to get used to, and we do think we're going to have to provide substantial support to a number of people so that we can make sure that happens.
Pete, we are almost out of time, so if people would like more information on the research, or indeed have any questions around their guide dog and health and exercise, etc., what's the best way to get in touch?
So you find a lot of information on our website, guidedogs.org.uk, and there are links there that will take you to all sorts of things that you can do to keep your dog occupied and keep your dog entertained, as well as all of the information about our services. If you have any concerns whatsoever, or you want some more information about what we do, or about your dog's health or well-being, or indeed about any of our other services that you think might be able to help you during these quite challenging times, you can ring us on 0800 781144.
Pete, let's hope people do get in touch if they are having any problems, and take a look at that report as well. Some interesting reading in there. But for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.